Thank you for inviting me for my reflections that I'm about to share with you. Please be seated. I'm Captain Russell Keith McAllister. I am proud to serve in the regular forces as a biosciences officer at my home unit of Canadian Forces Environmental Medicine Establishment located in Downs U in Toronto here. I usually spend most of my days working on trying to improve the equipment and the systems that our soldiers, sailors, and aviators use about their daily business, sometimes in various dangerous parts of the world. But today, I have the special honor of speaking to you about the remarkable sacrifice that the military members have made in Canada and throughout the world for each of us. There is no greater sacrifice than to risk one's life for the service of others. Our veterans have done that. And those of us that serve today are being inspired by their past sacrifices. It's important that we remember their stories of their courage and their selfishness, because our veterans have made possible the freedom and the peace that we enjoy. Telling their stories shows our gratitude and contributes to the important work of passing their legacy on. There's a very long and rich history of service and sacrifice by the members of the Canadian Armed Forces. Because of this year in 2009, I'm going to focus on three milestones that are being commemorated this year. The first, it's the 75th anniversary of the D-Day, or the Battle of Normandy. The second, it's the 70th anniversary of the creation of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And this year also marks the 5th anniversary of the end of the Canadian mission to Afghanistan. Today, I'm going to take some of your time to speak about some of the people who served during Canada during these three different events and how they fought and died to give us the chance to enjoy Canadians' values and freedoms during these times. Way too fast. All right. This is Arnold England. Arnold was from a small town in Tabustenak, which is a quiet town in New Brunswick. But 75 years ago, in the early mornings of June 6th, at just the age of 21, he was crossing the English Channel into France in a part of a massive amphibious snow attack that was famously remembered as D-Day. Take a moment to imagine being Arnold, not knowing how or when the brutal Nazi occupation of Europe would end. Could he have known whether the course of the Second World War would have changed on this one day? The Allies had spent years carefully planning this surprise attack, and they had invested so many ships that the channel was full of vessels, and the air above Arnold screened with the shells and warplanes flying overhead. A staggering 150,000 Allied troops were involved. 14,000 of them were Canadians like Arnold. Arnold and others knew this was a no-fail mission. Anything less than success would mean disaster for the Allies. They knew that Canadian, British, American contingents each held a sector on France's Normandy coastline to take back from the Nazis that day. They knew that many would not be coming home. Arnold was headed for Juno Beach, where the Canadians had to breach the German defenses. Imagine knowing that on the other side of that water was a wall of Nazi defenses, landmines, barbed wire, artillery, machine guns, and thousands of enemy soldiers. The challenge was clear because just 2 years earlier, the Canadian forces tested the German defenses at Dieppe and suffered horrible losses. At this time, Arnold and others, Canadians, would show the same kind of courage and achieve an outstanding victory. Some began this assault drenched and seasick from the high waves that rocked the landing craft. Some waded into the beaches with neck-high water under fire, desperately trying to keep their guns overhead so that they would remain functional and jammed and remain free of the sand. 359 Canadians made that ultimate sacrifice that day. On D-Day, Arnold and other Canadians succeeded in helping to turn the tide of the war. It was the beginning of the end for the Axis powers. The liberated countries of Northwestern Europe still celebrate the Canadians who helped them reclaim their freedom. By the time the Second World War ended, over 1 million Canadians out of the 11 million people of the country at that time had served in the fight against no tyranny. 45,000 Canadians made the ultimate sacrifice so that Canadians today could enjoy and live in peace. The battlefield successes of Canada during the Second World War earned Canada respect and allowed us to play a bigger picture in the world going forward. The next major Canadian engagement because of the cause of peace and freedom began only a few short years later. It's actually difficult to capture the story of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, which encompasses 70 years in just a few short pictures. But this one picture does a decent job of that. This is Private Christopher Gregory Hopalina, and he served in the NATO-led mission to Bosnia to help the former Yugoslavia. But before we talk more about him, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization is 70 years old and came into being because there were democratic countries of Europe who found themselves in a militarized standoff with the Soviet Union and its communist allies. Faced with this complex and dangerous Cold War, the North America and European democracies banded together in this collective defensive pact. NATO countries agreed to protect their common values of democracy, individual liberty, and the rule of law, and to maintain stability and peace in the North Atlantic region. We have been doing that work ever since. We are all safer with our allies, and our neighbors are secure, and we know that the threats of our securities have no boundaries. That's why Canada has participated in every NATO operation up until including this present day. Hundreds of thousands of Canadian soldiers, sailors, and aviators served in Europe alongside NATO colleagues during the Cold War. And after the Cold War, military personnel were called on to face new challenges for peace, freedom, and democracy. This brings me back to Private Christopher Gregory Hopalina from Russell, Manitoba. He was one of 10,000 Canadians sent through NATO in the 1990s to stabilize the former Yugoslavia after it's collapsed into ethnic warfare. Sapper Hopalina, sapper is the term for a military bomb disposal expert, was in Bosnia on his way to help 11 British soldiers who were trapped in a minefield when their armored vehicle was basically damaged and they had wounded among them. On his way to that site, the armored vehicle that Sapper Hopalina was traveling in struck another mine and was overturned, resulting in that he was killed along with several others injured. His and other sacrifices were dedicated to the Canadian values of peace and freedom, and bringing him to the world stage through their exceptional service in NATO. The third important anniversary we're commemorating this year stems from September 11th, 2001 attacks. After those attacks, Canada joined the mission to eliminate the terrorist threat in Afghanistan and bring peace and stability to its citizens. It was the biggest deployment of Canadian troops since the Second World War. And it ended just 5 years ago. This was Captain Nicola Goddard. She was one of 40,000 Canadians who served in that mission. She always had a keen sense of duty and was devoted to the mission. Her role was a forward observation officer. She was somebody that would spot targets and call in support against them. This often meant that they were very forward and in a very dangerous position. During the course of her duties on one mission, she was ambushed in a convoy. Captain Goddard called for artillery support and in doing so, put herself at great risk. Unfortunately, during that ambush, she was killed by enemy fire. Think of what it took for Sergeant Patrick Tower to then take charge of the platoon while it was under enemy attack. Corporal Christopher Reed, Corporal Bryce Keller, Sergeant Vagram Ingram, and Private Kevin Dallaire were killed in the attack, and Sergeant Tower's comrades, including 9 injured, were pinned down, and it was up to him to step up and lead. Under sporadic small-arm fire and rocket-propelled grenade fire, in scorching heat with 70 pounds on his back, Sergeant Tower ran across 150 meters of open ground to get to his fellow soldiers. And then he rallied them while being greatly outnumbered to keep a defensive position until armored vehicles could reach them and carry them to safety. For his exceptional service, Sergeant Tower rightly received the Canadian Star of Military Valor. It was very well deserved. In our act of remembrance this year, many Canadian service members like myself and many family members of our military personnel and veterans who served in Afghanistan will have that mission at the forefront of our thoughts. The Canadian Armed Forces lost 158 service people in the war in Afghanistan. I personally have trained about 400 soldiers that deployed to the Afghanistan mission. At that point in time, my job was to teach them advanced first aid skills that could help save their life or the lives of their teammates. Unfortunately, because they were in harm's way, several of them paid the ultimate price, including Sergeant James Boyd, Corporal Andrew Paul Granton, Corporal Michael James Alexander Seagy, Corporal Jordan James Anderson, Corporal Cole Daniel Brasht, Sergeant Christopher Krasnasek, Private Daryl James Caswell, Master Corporal Christelle Leanne Griesbaugh, Private Andrew Christopher Alexander Miller, and Master Corporal Joshua Brian Roberts. Master Corporal Roberts was one of the instructors that first taught me what it meant to be in the Canadian Armed Forces. And I caught up with him several years later when I was teaching him the skills, the first aid skills that he would need to go back to the mission in Afghanistan for the second time. Those names, among others, will be in my memories when I observe the minute of silence, both today and tomorrow. Many Canadians will participate in the Right to the Troops program to thank our veterans for their service in the past or current operations abroad, and for assistance during disasters at home, like in floods and wildfires. Teachers across the country will incorporate Remembrance Day and our military history into lesson plans, and some students will even borrow a combat boot that was used to commemorate Canada's iconic victory at Vimy Ridge during the First World War. The closest large indoor ceremony for Remembrance Day taking place tomorrow is at the Meridian Arts Center in the George Weston Recital Hall at 540 Yonge Street, starting at 10:45 tomorrow. But many Canadians will be taking place in this and some smaller ceremonies on war monuments and museums across the country and across the globe to lay wreaths or to have a personal moment of silence. There are many ways to remember the sacrifices of our veterans and to keep their legacy alive. What really matters is we make the choice to remember, and that we never forget. Thank you for choosing to remember our veterans today and Remembrance Day. And thank you for your attention.